be honest. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it becomes a. You know,
3, 2, 1.
I know where I'm going.
How is that? Is that better? Thank you, Tom. Okay, we got time. I was like, this is quiet. How's your headphones now? Is it too loud?
That's great.
Okay, great.
I just want to hear you, because I can't hear you until I'm muted.
Yeah, so totally.
I feel safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll put them both on.
Yeah. When it's time. When it's time. I'll let you know. Oh, God. You're pressing all the buttons at once. It's going to go okay. It's going to go great.
You're going to do so good.
Thank you so much. Everything okay?
No.
Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna unmute us, okay?
To dim the lights with Jenny and Amanda. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Amanda.
We are a twice a month radio talk show about movies.
Yeah, dude.
Not about radio. Here on WGXC, we're here the second and fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8 p.m. Jenny and I will usually pick a theme, a movie theme, a genre you've heard of, or maybe one that we made up, and then we'll get on the air to talk about the movies that we watch separately. But sometimes we just talk about the movies we've been watching lately. And before we get into that, we're going to tell you a little bit about what's playing in the theaters around these parts.
Wow, I'm excited.
I'll start off and I'll tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Inside Out 2, The Watchers from Ishana Night Shyamalan and Night Shyamalan's daughter.
Exciting.
And Bad Boys, Ride or Die. You can find out more about the Wyndham Theater and the showtimes of those movies at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Crandall Theater over in Chatham. Oh, we have Inside Out 2, Jaws, and We Groan Now. And if you're interested in any of the showtimes or more information about any of those movies, you can head on over to CrandallTheater.org.
Gorgeous. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at one of our two area drive-ins. I mean, there's many drive-ins in our area, but the two big ones in the WGXC range, the Greenville Drive-In, otherwise known as Drive-In 32, has coming up on June 15th, which is not today.
No, this today is the 11th. I know. Who could say?
June 15th, they're playing Bullet. Oh. On June 22nd, they're playing Clueless.
Oh, fun.
And on June 28th and 29th, they're playing Dirty Dancing. You can find out more about those show times and tickets at drivein32.com.
Amazing. All right, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing over at the Upstate Films locations, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Tuesday, Klimt and the Kiss, Panther, : Adventures and Misadventures of a Cinematic Life, Common Ground, Hitman, Songs of Earth, Evil Does Not Exist, National Theater Live, Vanya, and Gasoline Rainbow. And then heading across the river to the Orpheum Theater, which is the location in Saugerties, we have Inside Out 2, Space is the Place, Babes, Taxi Driver, Hitman, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, Ezra, and One Hand Don't Clap. And if you're interested in any of those showtimes, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, New York, right off of 9W. This weekend, we have Inside Out 2 and the Garfield movie. This is 4 screens, by the way, and there's a double feature on each. So, screen 1, we have Inside Out 2 and the Garfield movie. Screen 2, Bad Boys, Ride or Die and Tarot. Screen 3, The Watchers and Godzilla X Kong. And screen 4, Furiosa and In a Violent Nature. You can find out more at highwaydrivein.com, and that's spelled HIWAYdrivein.com.
All right, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, which is the theater in Hudson, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. This weekend, we have Wise Blood, My National Gallery, London, Kidnapped, and The Misfits. And if you're interested in any of those showtimes or any of the other things that they have going on over at TSL, you can head on over to timeandspace.org.
Oh,
cool. Wow.
All right, I'm going to tell you about the very exciting new movie theater that we have coming to Hudson.
Wow.
So they're called Story Screen Cinema, and their official opening is on the 14th. So this
exciting.
Is
wow.
I'm really excited. And they have a bunch of movies. So on Friday the 14th, we're kicking off with I Saw the TV Glow. Tuesday, Inside Out 2 and Twister.
So fun.
Not Twisters.
Just Twister. Getting you ready.
The OG.
Getting you ready for the squeakquel.
It says right on the website, PG-13 for intense depiction of very bad weather.
Yes.
And for the rest of the weekend, yeah, we also still have a shuffling of those same movies. And going forward into the following week, we're screening Hairspray.
Oh, fun.
On the 20th. In a Violent Nature comes, and then, is there another word? Oh, Moonlight.
Oh, fun. Oh, my God, cute.
And A Quiet Place, Day 1 on the 27th as
dang.
Well. So they got a lot. We're very excited for them to open. You can check out more at storyscreenpresents.com.
Thrilling. And that's in the location on Fairview. That's, like, next to Fairview Wines and Liquors. That's, like, used to be just like a little 3-screen cinema.
Yeah.
And now she is again.
She is again. Yeah, it's exactly like Jenny said. It's across from, it's right next to Fairview Wine and Spirits, and it's across from Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep.
Behind the Burger King.
You know what we're talking
about.
You know where it is.
Yeah.
You know, kind of near Healy Boulevard.
Yeah, exactly. That's from Joanne.
So easy. All right, and then the last theater we have to tell you about is the Spotlight Cinema location, also on Fairview. We have Bad Boys, Ride or Die, The Watchers, Ezra, Summer Camp, Furiosa, A Mad Max Saga, Sight, The Garfield Movie, Babes, If, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Inside Out 2. So if you're interested in seeing any of those movies, you're going to head on over to thespotlighttheaters.com and select the Hudson location. Wow,
wow,
a lot to see.
So many movies. There's always too many movies to see, Jenny, and that is
heartbreaking.
Kind of the subject of tonight is that Jenny and I mean, I can only really speak for myself. I've not watched a lot of movies lately because I've been busy, and I've also been just enraptured by Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes, dude.
I'm thinking about those teens every day. So
they're taking up a lot of space.
Yeah, I've watched a few movies and I can't wait to tell you about them, but I've mostly been watching 90210.
Yeah, literally same, but ER.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was busy, Jenny was busy and sick. So
true.
Sometimes you want a story in a 40 minute or less arc.
Please, something quick, easy. The brain is not working like it used to. Mm-hmm. We are so sweepy. That being said, we have seen a couple of movies.
We have.
Some things to talk about.
Should we talk about how we both went to see together Furiosa?
I think we definitely should talk about Furiosa. I think the people are wondering, what's the deal with this one?
Our opinions are so important.
So true. Everyone's been waiting to hear our Furiosa take. And the end, they should be, because I bet we have interesting things to say.
I wonder, I listen to movie podcasts, as we both do, and most of them are really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Not like us.
Okay, that's what I hope. That's what I think we're better, because I love you, and I also love me.
Same.
Fingers crossed. I hope we are. Yeah.
I think we are. I think we did great. I know. I recently was talking to a stranger who was a new friend at a party, and he was telling me about a movie podcast that he listens to, and he was like, yeah, like, they don't really know what they're talking about, and it's, like, a lot of in-jokes, and I was like, oh, it's, like, kind of similar to, like, what we do, but it's fine.
And that was actually why I wondered.
Yeah.
I think we make less jokes, which is better.
And I think, you know what? People listen to those goofy podcasts.
Yeah, it's true.
So
it's
maybe true. We're providing something.
You know what? We're starting off in a good spot.
Exactly.
Our competitors, it's all really, everyone when they're choosing a movie podcast is choosing out of the, they're not choosing out of the best of the best.
No.
They're just trying to listen to one that's bearable.
They're pulling something out of the trough. And it's like, oh, what's this? Oh, WGXC, a radio station? Oh, we're not a podcast, baby.
No, actual airwaves.
Yeah,
actual
that's airwaves. Cooler.
All right.
Anyway.
We went to go see Furiosa and Mad Max Saga together, and we actually haven't really talked about it with each other that much. And I think that, I mean, I can't speak for Jenny, but I'll say what most people have said, that, like, in the landscape of action movies that we have now, it shines bright.
Yes.
Because the standard is very low.
Absolutely.
And not saying that this, you know, this movie was slightly above the low, but stacked up next to its predecessor, Fury Road, it's hard.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, I feel like if Fury Road didn't exist, I'd be like, Furiosa is a masterpiece. It's incredible. So good.
Absolutely.
But, like, because Fury Road came first, it's really hard, because Fury Road is, like, one of the best movies ever made, kind of.
It is.
And so it's, like, Furiosa has a lot of interesting things about it, and, like, the more time that passes since we watched it, actually, the fonder I grow of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things about it that I think are really interesting, and I appreciate a lot of, like, what George Miller is doing with it. Which, so if you aren't familiar, Furiosa, a Mad Max Saga, as the title implies, is a prequel to Mad Max Fury Road, which is a movie that came out in 2015,
mm-hmm.
Part of the Mad Max franchise from the 70s. And it's, like, it's very similarly styled to Fury Road, but it's a much more, like, traditional, like, hero's journey prequel, as opposed to the, like, the road style of Fury Road, which is just, like, we start in one place, we go to another place, and then we end in the beginning again.
Yeah.
Which is such a, like, an incredible tight format for a story to have.
it makes so much sense for the world that's already been built by the original Mad Max trilogy, which is this, it's taking place in this kind of extremely violent and strange, vague wasteland.
Yeah.
So the fact that this new Mad Max, when Fury Road came out, you know, obviously he's not Mel Gibson. Like, we have a new Mad Max. We have no idea when in time it's taking place.
Right.
And I love that.
Totally.
So it's funny that Furiosa comes in and kind of gives it more of a timeline.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really want.
No, totally.
It's not a problem but it is, it does add a little more, not necessarily structure, but like it gives a bit more of a measurement, mm-hmm. a meter to the time in the world that, yeah. that I want.
Right. It gives, it really like fills in backstory from Fury Road, which one of the things that's really exciting about Fury Road is that there's a lot of information that's kind of dropped on you with no context,
yes.
and that's really thrilling, and like not, the context isn't needed. And Furiosa really fills in some of it, which is like, I don't really need it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like the, like when we first watched it, I know we were all kind of like, yeah, I don't know about this one. But like the more time that passes, the more I'm like, you know what? I don't mind having this information. I don't think it takes away from Fury Road. I don't think it was necessary, but also like, what makes something necessary in a movie anyway? It's just like totally. More story that George Miller has that he's trying to get out. And I'm like, I can respect that.
So talking about other movie podcasts, my partner and friend of the show, Chris.
One of these days we're going to get him on here.
Yeah. So he does the work that we don't do. And he listens to a bunch of just absolutely grating podcasts.
Incredible.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
With love.
You know, I hate them so much, and I know you do too. But thank you for doing the work. So he was listening to a podcast about Furiosa, and apparently the script for, maybe you already know this, the script of Furiosa and Fury Road were already written at the same time.
Yeah, it was that, and then also the Max, I can't remember what it's like Mad Max The Wasteland or something.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's
so
like...
already written
right.
before...
Like George Miller knew, like he knew. He knew everything.
So in some ways, and I'm not sure why Fury Road was chosen to be made first, but like it is a really interesting thing to think about if I mean, all right, it's an interesting thing to think about how we feel about Furiosa if it was the one that came first.
I think,
but
yes,
I also think that the way that movie is now is changed, like the fact that it is coming after,
yeah,
Fury Road is a huge part of how it turned out.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't think it would exist in that form.
Right. It would be different if it came out first. But I do think there is something to be said for like our also friend of the show and coworker Andy. He didn't actually, but he was thinking about going to see Furiosa, even though he hasn't seen Fury Road. And I was like, oh, that's actually like the
perfect,
like you have the perfect experience, which is you don't know how good Fury Road is.
Yeah.
So you can go see Furiosa and not have it like hanging over your head the whole time like we did.
Totally.
You know?
And it'd be kind of cool to then see Fury Road for the first time and just have the whole story get kicked up.
Right. A 10 notches. Story. Yeah, totally.
My other like tiny gripe that I think about, which has something to do with what you were saying, what we were talking about, where in Fury Road you just get dropped mm-hmm. into this world.
Totally.
I do, yeah, felt like Furiosa did a little more explaining mm-hmm. than I wanted it to. Even so much as, like, one of the wonderful things about the Mad Max universe is you do just get dropped in and they trust you as the consumer of mm-hmm. this media to just kind of figure it out.
Totally.
And this is such a tiny gripe, but there's just a few little moments in Furiosa where some characters would be like, I'm Rictus.
Yeah.
I'm Scrotus. Like, they just, instead of learning a character's name because somebody calls them.
Right,
that,
totally.
There was a lot of
introduction, exposition.
Yeah, and yeah. maybe it's because it was written that way, because it was the first in the series.
Right.
So you are meeting these characters for the first time, and so they're essentially introducing themselves. Mm-hmm. But I much prefer the Fury Road way of doing it, where you
learn it as things come up.
Boy, oh boy! I just rewatched it this past week.
Oh god, I've been meaning to rewatch it since we saw Furiosa.
Yeah, it was nice to rewatch
yeah.
it after coming fresh from Furiosa.
It is. I know we talked about this earlier together.
It's just relentless.
It's so good. It's also like, it's so insane to me that no one is playing it right now in theaters. Like no one is playing Fury Road, and I'm like, why? Everyone likes this movie. That's money in your pocket.
Yeah.
Just play it. I'm dying to see it on a big screen again.
I know. We just also talked about it earlier today. We each saw it in the theater 3 times.
Yeah, totally. Crazy. Because it's so good.
It was so good. And, you know, it did, watching it this weekend did reinforce the other thing that I didn't love about Furiosa, which is there was a couple missed opportunities to give us a really good show.
Yeah, totally.
I'm used to seeing that. I know. High-octane.
Yeah, it's set piece after set piece. Like, Fury Road is, like, end-to-end set pieces. Like, nothing in between. There is no filler. Yeah. All killer, no filler.
We were listening to a podcast about Fury Road the other day, and someone on the show was like, the whole sandstorm chase scene is, like, 30 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
And that's, the level of action is, like, what you get in most movies for, the final act.
Totally. Yeah, it's crazy. It starts, like, so crazy. It's so... And, like, that's the thing that I think does a disservice to Furiosa is that, like, Furiosa is, like, clearly a much calmer, kind of quieter movie, which does feel insane to say for a movie that also has, like... crazy set pieces and is about, you know, people killing each other in the wasteland and, like, insane,
yeah,
like, kooky shit stuff. But, like, the... I do appreciate that... I mean, I'm happy for any more time in this world, yeah, personally.
Oh, absolutely.
But I do also think it's kind of interesting that Furiosa takes a different tact. Like, I don't know that it's necessarily better, but I do think it's, like, yeah, let's spend time with this one character and, like, do these kind of interesting time skips and do these much, like, kind of quieter, like, scenes with her. It's, like, much more, like, character-based, mm-hmm, which, like, Fury Road is also one of the, like, magic tricks that it does, is that it is really character-based despite being, like, crazy, like, car chase after crazy car chase. Yeah. But, like, I do kind of appreciate, like, maybe it's not... it's not necessarily as enjoyable, but I think it's doing something different that's also interesting.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, like, the more time that I think about Furiosa, the warmer I feel towards it, and I kind of want to see it again, because I'm, yeah, like, ooh, I was definitely harder on it during the first watch than I necessarily would have been without Fury Road as, like, a roadblock in the,
yeah,
way, you,
no,
know?
I mean, it is, and it does itself a disservice because Furiosa continuously reminds us that it's connected to Fury Road.
Yeah, totally.
It would have done so much better if it hadn't tried to, like, constantly hammer that home. And I mean, in, like, the ending credits where they just show clips from Fury Road.
Yeah, oh no, that's such a weird choice.
What else was I gonna say? And so to your point about it being a little calmer of a character piece. I mean, it's... So the original trilogy, I feel, is like that as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, Tom just texted me saying that he thought your mic was muted, but you're not muted, so...
I don't know.
Waiting to hear back.
All right, well, hopefully...
It doesn't just sound like I'm talking to myself, because that would be humiliating.
So embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, so the original trilogy feels like it has a lot of moments of calm and, just slower and sweeter moments than are in Fury Road. So it's true, it's Furiosa. It is nice to have that more of a character piece, because Fury Road is, yes, it's a Mad Max movie, and it has Max in it, but it's really a story about Furiosa. We all know this.
Totally.
But as I've said to you many of these, I think that I'm happier to live in a world where this movie exists as it is than without.
Yes, absolutely.
I wish that it had been Furiosa on an unrelated adventure.
Totally. I do always feel like a prequel or a sequel is, like, what are we doing? Like, this is an opportunity to do an entirely different story. But, you know, I'm not mad. George Miller, I want you to keep making movies until you can't anymore.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, is earlier when I was saying the missed opportunities it took, just the one moment where they're, spoilers ahead, they're explaining this plan, this, like, kind of decoy plan that they're going to do. And then it starts to all go down, and then the narrator just says, and thus ensued the 40-day war.
Yeah.
And you could just see
I know. Which I do think is, like, I also at the time was like a little bit frustrated by it, but I kind of think it's like there's something really fun about him being like, I don't care about that though. We're talking about this right now. Forget about the 40-day war. I'm just letting you know that it did happen and I do know about it. Like I can really respect that kind of like insane nerd energy where he's like, look. I know exactly what happened, but it's none of your business.
I know.
We're focusing on Furiosa right now.
It's true.
But it's true. I mean, but that's the thing, is that I'm also like, maybe a whole movie that's like the 40-day war is interesting. Like, maybe it doesn't, like, I don't know that I do need another, like, weird 30-minute section in that movie, which is already 2.5 hours long, that's like, I mean, obviously I do. I want anything more. Yeah. I would be seated for 4 hours, George. It's fine.
More road wars.
It's true. I'm so down for more road wars at all times.
But no, it's true.
Yeah.
All things considered, these are all small gripes, and ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a great addition to what we already know, and I'm happy it exists.
Totally. I'm not mad.
I cannot stand up to Fury Road, but what really can?
It's because he made his magnum opus already, you know? It's like, once you do it, it's like, well, I'm just going to keep puttering and we'll see what comes out.
Exactly.
I do really hope that he makes the third one, because I think it's the third one is supposed to be like Max's backstory, because in Fury Road you see, or not like backstory, I don't either, but like I want to see another movie that George Miller makes. Like, I don't really care.
That is ultimately what it is at the end of the day. It's like, I didn't want to know all of Furiosa's backstory. Like, now having rewatched Fury Road, I do love, you know, when she kills Immortan Joe in Fury Road, she says, remember me.
Yeah, totally.
And when we see Fury Road, we don't really know
what she's talking about, yeah.
And there's so much going on, you kind of really don't
know. Yeah, totally.
But now having seen Furiosa, there's so much more context. I guess something in the script was kind of changed, too, where she was actually more of a wife.
Yeah, she was meant to be one of the wives, yeah.
And that becomes very... It was changed for the movie.
Yeah, totally.
It was, like, very, very brief.
Yeah.
She was, I think, in the original script, spent much more time as one of the imprisoned wives.
Makes a lot of sense for her to then be like, remember me. Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, I'm happy to know some background details. It is fun. But yeah, I don't really want to know too much more.
Yeah.
I don't really want to know more about Max. But like you said, I'll just be happy to have what I can get.
That's the thing, is that it's like, it's not even necessarily like knowing more information, because I don't really care about the information. It's more about just spending more time there, where I'm like, I love seeing what this world looks like to you. I love like seeing all these really kooky characters. It's so fun. I don't even really care what you're telling me. It's like kind of irrelevant. Like,
which is exactly what I said. You'd rather just have it be a completely unrelated
story. Totally. But I don't mind. I'm like, yeah, if you do want to do a Max story, that's fine. Whatever. Like, I think it would be interesting no matter what, especially because now he's shown like this ability to change form so much from the original trilogy to Fury Road to Furiosa. Like, there's such differently structured movies. Like, I do think it's really interesting when filmmakers age and start to kind of play around with their like cinematic language in different forms.
It's so nice.
Like, why, like, I do feel kind of, obviously Fury Road is incredible, but like if he made another movie that was exactly like that, would it hit as hard? You know, I think it's interesting to change it.
Well, I think you have to, right?
Right.
Like, I think that's the mistake that we're so used to seeing over and over again, is with sequels or prequels or remakes.
Right.
Trying to make a cover that's just as good as the
original. You can't. It's not possible. You have to change it.
It's like Twin Peaks The Return.
Right.
That gets it so right, because it just is insane.
Right.
It's not all the Twin Peaks from 1990 that we love and know.
Totally.
It has some of the same characters and it has some of the same themes, but it's you can never go home again.
And that's, I mean, that is, it's way more interesting to watch that kind of thing.
You can never visit the same river twice.
God, so true, King.
You just have to keep going with the current.
You have to.
You have to.
But yeah, I do think Furiosa is worth seeing, and like,
yeah.
I also do think it's worth seeing in the theater if you're into that, because I do think, like, I think it would hit harder in a theater than it does. I do also, yeah. I feel like the theater we saw it at didn't have the sound turned up all the way. Not to gripe, but like, I feel like it could have been louder.
Yeah,
in my opinion. Could have been louder.
I agree.
That's,
I
mean, all. Turn it up.
Even at home this weekend, Fury Road was more intense.
Yeah.
It is more action-packed.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think having the sound turned up more in the theater would have grabbed me a little more.
Like, I just think the things that are shortcomings about Furiosa don't translate well to the home. Like, I think they're worse at home.
I do too.
Than they would be in the theater.
Can people hear me?
Yep, Tom said, it's not, it's not just me listening to you. No, Tom said he can now hear us both, which is great. Thank goodness. I hope everyone could hear you before that. Turn up your volume and then turn it down when I'm talking.
I know,
I'm so sorry.
I'm not, bellowing into the microphone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're just, no, we're doing great. Yeah.
Jenny?
Yes?
Were you tiny? Yes. About another movie that
yes.
you saw.
Yes, I will. I'm going to tell you about, I watched a new rom-com. I watched a not very good rom-com that came out recently to streaming called The Idea of You with Anne Hathaway. And, it's the new Anne Hathaway movie with her and Nicholas Galitzine, who's, my friend always calls him the actor with the big teeth, which is descriptive, but he's, the jock. It's true. He's the jock in Bottoms. Did you see Bottoms?
I started Bottoms.
Rats. He's also in, he's in like a bunch of stuff that I simply haven't seen.
I just accidentally navigated to private browsing.
Oh, don't let anyone know. It's Nicholas Galitzine. He's like a brand new baby on the scene. He was born in 1994.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you recognize that. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
That square face.
We apologize for our sound issues. We're having some sensitive microphones.
We're still new to the fresh studio, and we're kind of figuring it out. So it's, please be kind to us and listen to us maybe in your car speakers instead of headphones.
Yeah. Okay, I see it. The Idea of You. Wow, this kid is a chiseled hunk.
Yeah, he's really hunky. I think that he works better as a comedy lead than a romantic lead personally, but I've only seen him in two movies, so like maybe not fair. Although actually, you know what, he's in a TV show right now that I think is probably called Mary and George, that's like a queer historic. I think I was talking to you about this. where he plays like a king's consort basically. And he's pretty good in that. But, so, it's with Julianne Moore. It's great. The Idea of You is a movie that just came out. I think it's on, like, Prime or something. I don't know. Who could say? But it was directed by Michael Showalter, because that's what he does now. He does, like, yeah, he does, like, his little rom-coms now. That's what he's busy doing. Love that for him.
God, what a treasure that man
is. I know. I love him. But so, it's a romance that is very clearly based on like the concept of an adult woman dating Harry Styles from One Direction. Like that's clearly like, I don't know if it's actually adapted from like a novelization of a fan fiction or if it's just really gesturing strongly towards that, but that's like very much what the story is.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty fun.
So
it's, he plays a pop star named Hayes Campbell, who is a member of a band called August Moon.
Wow.
Incredible.
They could have picked a better boy band name.
Yeah.
It feels more like folk.
It does. August Moon has a real, like,
I mean, just make it another scramble of consonants like BTS.
Right, exactly. Make it goofy. Come on. But yeah, so he plays a pop star, and Anne Hathaway plays she owns an art gallery in Silver Lake, California, and her daughter is like 15 or 16 and, used to be really into August Moon when she was a kid. But now that she's a teenager, she's like, oh, that's like for kids. It's not for me anymore. But Anne Hathaway and her ex-husband are separated, and he, like, as a gift to their daughter, buys her tickets to see August Moon because he's really out of touch with, like, a meet and greet. Right, come on, Dad. That's not what I like anymore. So he buys her, like, meet and greet tickets at Coachella for some reason to meet the boys from the band. But he can't go at the last minute. He was going to go with them, which also seems crazy to me because they're like 16, like these teenagers, like the Anne Hathaway's daughter and her friends. And I'm like, why would your mom go with you? But whatever. Or your dad.
I guess so. Makes a good excuse.
That's fair.
Like, I would not let. I kind of make myself out to be like a like real helicopter mom.
Fastidious mom, yeah.
I wouldn't let my 16-year-old
go to Coachella. Yeah, that's fair. Oh, you know what? That's fair. It's unclear
it's
whether they.
Games,
that's, so. Is that true?
Nitrous
games. Like, they come and they force you to just nitrous. Yeah, so true. You're right. I've never been to Coachella, so like that might be what it's like there. Couldn't be me. But anyway, I heard the dad can't go, and he and Anne Hathaway are no longer together. Very importantly, he's like, I have to go on a business trip. Will you take her to the concert instead?
Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway's like, fine, whatever. So she takes her daughter and all of her friends to Coachella. And while they're off seeing one of the other artists, she is like waiting by the August Moon like meet and greet until they get there, but she really needs to pee, so she like goes to try to find a bathroom, and somebody accidentally directs her to a trailer where she walks in and there's somebody already in the bathroom, and she's like kind of rude to him when he comes out. And then when she comes out of the bathroom, she realizes that it's Hayes Campbell of the band August Moon.
Wow.
And they have like a little, you know, like, haha, oops, I didn't realize that you're a famous person. Haha, it's you. Like, she doesn't know who he is because she is an adult woman.
Yeah.
And it's very cute. Anyway, the rest of the movie is very, like, they keep running into each other because he's, like, instantly smitten because she's Anne Hathaway and she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And he, like, you know, he plays the concert and, like, dedicates a song to her while she's in the crowd. But, like, not, you know, not saying her name. He's just like, I met someone tonight. And then, like,
Jesus.
You know, I know.
That's a little...
He's, like, he's like 25. Like, he's a child. Yeah. And so, you know, then the next day, no, cause he's not the one that she likes from band. And also she doesn't know that it's happening. Cause like they chat in the trailer before the meet and greet, and then Anne Hathaway leaves cause she's like, haha, oops. This isn't what I meant to do. And then during the meet and greet, they like do a little like funny back and forth, like, haha, we met earlier, but like, they don't say anything. And then when he's playing the show with his four best friends who are in the band, he goes like, this one goes out to someone I met tonight, but like doesn't say her name. So her daughter has no idea.
Yeah.
She's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
So the next day he shows up at Anne Hathaway's art gallery and just like walks in. There's tons of paparazzi outside taking pictures, and he decides to just buy everything in the gallery, which is an unhinged decision because he's like, he really likes her and he's trying to like get to know her. And then they like, you know, she goes to show him some other art that's in like a warehouse that her friend owns. And they like have their little like romantic back and forth where they start to get vulnerable with each other. And then they like have a little sandwich together and they're both really into it. But she's like, I simply couldn't date you. I'm 40 and you're a child.
Yeah.
But they kiss and it's, you know, it's a whole thing. Anyway, the rest of the story is literally just him being like, I really feel like you should date me though. And her being like, okay, yes, I do want to have a little bit of fun. And so like he flies her on his tour and everything, and like they do the romantic thing. And then the classic obstacle that happens to all rom-coms is that he's really famous, and that's,
yeah,
like kind of a problem.
Yeah.
And so I'll let you watch it if you want to know about how that resolves.
I mean, you can spoil it for me if you want. I have questions already. First of all, do you think that this movie is targeted towards older women who have crushes on hairstyles?
I think probably. I think it is also just like...
like how that is like a target audience, like mm-hmm. sexy movies.
Yeah, for women who are interested in younger men. I think definitely that's part of it. I do also think it just works as like a regular rom-com for adults. Like one of the things... I don't think it's very...
it is like a cultural touchstone.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
everyone knows, yeah.
Story to be made now.
Totally.
Icon, like Harry Styles.
Right.
Now.
But it doesn't feel like... like kinky or anything. Like, it's very straightforward. It's not, it doesn't feel like it's like, ooh, cougars. It's just like, it feels like it's meant to be a regular rom-com that just happens to center a woman who's 40. It's, to be very clear, I don't think it's like a great movie, but I appreciate that there's like real sex scenes in it, which is cool, because there's not usually that. It's a good generally like pretty like sensual movie. My main critique with it is that like neither of them have any personality whatsoever. So it's like I did not feel invested. As a person who's like usually pretty able to get invested in rom-coms, I was like, I do not care if these people end up together or not.
Romantic comedies really, like, they don't actually necessarily need to be that funny to be successful.
No.
It does really rely on chemistry.
Absolutely.
Though, like, it's gonna be a good one.
Yeah. And like they have some chemistry. Like, I think both of them are great actors.
I guess chemistry is different than personality.
Yeah. It just is like neither of the characters have any character traits at all, at least that I could discern. Like, maybe I'm wrong about that, because I watched it in two parts, which is not usually how I do it, and both times really late at night. But like, I just didn't feel like they had anything to talk about, which like maybe isn't the point, and I feel like that kind of isn't the point. Like, they're both like having a good time, but then it becomes really emotional by the end, because it always does. And like, I did see one review on Letterboxd that was like, the crying to having sex ratio is way off. Like, there's way more crying in this movie.
Wow.
You know, like, there should be more having sex and less crying.
Yeah.
Which I strongly agree with. Like, they're both like really emo by the end, and I'm like, oh my god, you guys, like, stop.
Just chill out.
Like, why do you even like each other?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
So, which do you think is stronger, the rom or the com in this movie?
I mean, it's not very funny either. It's not a great movie. I'm so sorry to Michael Showalter. Are both kind of lacking. It was like a perfectly reasonable way to spend an hour and a half, but like, I started watching it and was like, God, I hope this gets more interesting soon. And then it kind of never did. The one thing that I think is kind of interesting about it, my friend Anne, who's been on it before, texted me about this because she watched it, and then she was like, oh, you guys should really do a theme around fine art.
We should absolutely do one
about dating celebrities. It's a really good one too. But because you and I have definitely talked about like paintings in movies before, but I feel like the specificity also of fine art is a really interesting one, because often art in movies is terrible. Like, it's never similar to art that you see in real life. It's like goofy paintings usually, and like they're just usually garbage.
Yeah.
This one felt like, I didn't necessarily like all of the art in it, but I was like, oh, that's probably real. Like, a person who is an actual artist probably made that, and it wasn't just like you asked like somebody to print out a painting for you from the internet.
The image that immediately came into my mind, this is a very small detail in a scene in Mean Girls.
Yes.
Lindsay Lohan's character is having a house party, and she doesn't invite her two friends, the like
gothy
girl and the gay guy, and they drive by in a car and they're like, you've actually changed, like,
you're
doing this plan, but you've changed, and you didn't come to my art show.
Yeah.
And she throws a drumming at her, and Lindsay Lohan unfolds it. It's like a drawing of the three of them with like animals.
Like, exactly. Like, art in movies usually suck so bad.
it's like,
totally.
But, yeah, that's just the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's like, that's the thing that I do think is, it's not interesting enough to watch this movie if you're not also into like the romance aspect, but like, I was like, oh, it's funny, I went into it expecting the art to be really bad, because Anne was like, oh, you guys should do fine art in a show for a theme.
It's a really good idea.
And I was like, oh, you know what, this art's like, actually, it looks, I mean, it's not art that I like, but it looks real, which is a big part of the problem.
That's huge.
For me.
It's huge.
Often.
It's seemingly very difficult
for some reason. Like, why? Just go to a single museum. Yeah. But yeah. Thank you, Anne.
Thinking about movies about dating celebrities, I'm thinking about When a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Yes. My Date with the President's Daughter. Yes, bro. So good.
And I know there's...
I'm sure there's more, yeah. But yeah, that's the idea of you. It's like, fine. It's like totally fine.
I give you not as good as anyone but you.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely not as good. Oh, and it is on Prime Video. If you do want to watch it, you could do that. It's perfectly legal to do that.
It's perfectly legal. All right. I watched... I did watch one more movie.
What'd you watch?
I watched Godzilla X Kong.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have much to say because that movie was just so bad. I'm lucky enough to... for someone who likes lowbrow as much as I do, I'm lucky enough to not have too many experiences, movie watching experiences, where afterwards I think, God, I'll never get those minutes of my life back. But with this,
no,
I got up from the couch multiple times to kind of like pace around and like kick my feet around.
You're like, God, I wish I was doing anything else right now. Oh no, that's terrible news for the Kong heads in the house.
It is so, so bad.
Can you tell me more about it? Because I don't really understand how those movies work.
So I'm going to tell you the very little.
Please, that's all I want.
I've seen those other ones. So the one before this...
It was Godzilla versus Kong, right? Was that the last one?
I think so. I don't know. It's the one where they find the Hollow Earth, where Kong is from.
For sure.
Before his
so true, so true.
And so there's, we spend more time in the Hollow Earth with Rebecca Hall and Brian Tyree Henson.
Henry,
that's right. I always mess up his last name. And the blue-eyed guy from The Guest.
Dan Stevens. I love Dan Stevens.
I also love Dan Stevens.
Yeah.
Massive waste of Dan Stevens.
Oh, God. They're always wasting him, frankly.
He's, like, clearly supposed to be the cool hottie, and there's a bunch of, like, needle drops with great songs.
Oh.
Like, actually great
that's
songs.
Pretty good.
He's, like, the cool pilot guy.
Cute. Great character archetype.
Yeah, but just, is it there's like bad giant apes that live in the middle of the earth, and their name, one the guy, the one's name is Star King or something, and they control another kaiju that spits like freezing ice, and they release it and try to wreak havoc on there's definitely a lot of city destruction, which is fun.
That's fun.
But you want to see, you want to feel it more.
Yeah.
You know?
That's always my problem with those ones.
Yeah, exactly, right? The scale is not from human looking up.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Looking at these two giant monsters fighting, which is fine, but I'm not ever seeing... I'm not ever getting the sense of destruction.
Totally. I have no investment in two monsters just fighting each other. Like, I want to be on the ground and looking up. I think that's a really, I've never really thought about it in that term before, but that is exactly what I want. You're so right.
And I
want
to see above too.
No, totally. I want all the angles. Yeah.
But I want to, I'm a little person. I go inside the
building. Right. And like when they're two big like CGI creatures, it's like, how do you ground this in anything that makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, like give me something. Cause otherwise I'm just watching like, yeah, two globs fight each other, and I'm like, they're not real. I know they're not real. I know they're not real.
We spend so much time in the world where Kong is from that you really lose sense of scale very quickly. Mm-hmm. There's a tiny version. So there's like a little giant gorilla.
Cute.
So he's still a giant gorilla.
But he's smaller compared.
Weird, scrappy dude.
Oh no! Who are these movies for?
I don't know, but did you see the tweets of when it came out? It was released in Japan.
Mm-mm.
And people's reviews.
No,
so
I did not.
Here are some
please.
Of the
reviews. Oh my god, please.
And I assume most of them have been translated.
Yeah.
This review goes, woo! Godzilla X Kong is a movie that seems like it was made by some idiots drinking and getting excited late at night. And I was laughing the whole time. It's the best, the best, the best. Everybody's stupid.
Oh my god. I mean, that's the most anyone's ever made me want to watch that movie. Incredible work.
I watched Godzilla vs. Kong, too. It was a silly movie made by an idiot, and it was very good.
Oh, my God.
I saw Godzilla vs. Kong, The New Empire, and it was so crazy. About half of the story is in a language other than human, which is true.
Is it in, like, apish?
It's like sign language, and then also, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's about five times dumber than I thought it would be, and I was forced to cheer up. Thank you. It's not like I'm crazy.
Oh, my God. It's incredible that we have two big monkey movies in the theater at the same time. Like, could you guys put like a little bit of space in between them?
Yeah, right. Wait, what's
the Kingdom of, or Planet of the Apes?
It's
Kingdom
true.
Of the Planet of the
It's true.
War of the Apes.
Yeah, I know. So, I am partially part of the way through War for the Planet of the Apes because I never saw that one. And
I haven't seen any of them. Yeah.
The first one's kind of fun.
Yeah, I watched the first, like, half an hour with my partner, and then he was like, I don't really want to watch the movie where the monkey's sad. And I was like, yeah, that's fair.
That is the only one where it's, like, really, you know.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not trying to watch a movie about a sad animal. I was like, that's really fair, actually.
The first one where it's like, it is because it's still the planet of the human.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you watch... apes being abused until they're like enough.
Enough is enough. I know. We started it and I was like, how long do you think we have to wait until he gets his revenge? And he was like, probably like the third act. And I was like, all right. Yeah. But yeah, funny.
Anyways, I love the reviews from Japan because people are so delighted at how bad it is.
It's so cute, yeah.
And they're having a great time. Where I live in this world where I'm getting bad movies all the time.
Totally.
So just frothing at the mouth, steaming out
like incredible. Just like Kong.
I'll never get back.
Give me my minutes. And you know it wasn't short, also.
No.
I'm sure it was like 2.5.
I don't even know.
Who could say?
I got a little stoned. And
whoo!
I was like, can I say that on the radio? But it's legal.
It's legal, yeah, baby.
So I guess a little bit gently stoned and did not
hit. That's too bad. Heartbreaking.
Or no, I'm sorry. We watched half of it the previous night and we were stoned.
Oh,
and we're like, this is bad, but it's kind of fun. And then we finished it sober.
Oh, like, this is terrible. Oh, God.
That's it.
You blew it. It actually only works if you're just a little bit stoned. Dang.
You got anything else?
All right. I got one other movie to tell you about, which I've already talked to you about a little bit, but I'm just going to give you like one more small taste. I went to Upstate, had a like premiere and Q&A with the director of I Saw the TV Glow last month. And I went to see that, and directed by Jane Schoenbrunn, who lives in Chatham, I guess, is like a local,
yeah,
which is very sweet. If you are not familiar with them, their first movie was, We're All Going to the World's Fair, which I think I talked about on the radio maybe when I saw it, which is like a really fun, kind of weird, arty horror movie about a teenage girl who gets really into like online horror challenges.
Yeah.
It's like a very interesting, read of like teens on the internet and like viral videos kind of, but also... like isolation in this way that's really interesting. And like, it's not a perfect movie, but I do think it is different from a lot of other movies. And I really liked it, even though it's not like, it's not one of the best movies I've ever seen. I think it's really interesting. And it like is speaking to a lot of things that aren't really being addressed in movies otherwise.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend it. But I Saw the TV Glow is their new feature that just came out last month. As Amanda read earlier, it's playing on Fairview this weekend.
I'm going to try to be there on Friday.
Yeah, so it's not too late. You can still go see it. I went to see it by myself, which at first I was a little bit like, oh, like, I mean, I love watching movies alone, but I was like thinking I might go with somebody. However, when it ended, I like walked out past a couple of people who I knew were there and was like going to talk to them, but then was like, I can't talk to anyone right now, and like got directly into my car so I could cry the whole ride home. Like, it's one of those that I do think really hits if you're alone.
Yeah.
It's a movie. I don't want to talk about it too much because I do think it's really worth seeing, even though it did, as Anne, also friend of the show, said, ruin my week.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
time. It's a movie about a young kid played by Justice Smith named Owen who gets really obsessed with a TV show. It takes place in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And he's really obsessed with this like really weird half-hour TV show that's like for kids, but has like, it's almost like a Buffy energy. Like, it's like weird teens fighting demons, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this really interesting narrative because it's about him growing up with this TV show and like the connection that he makes with another person who also watches it, and then as he gets older how his relationship to that changes.
Mm-hmm.
And how that speaks to his identity, both like his gender identity and like just his like existence as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it is devastating. But it's also like, it's really interestingly made. Like, I think it is like very much an art film in this way that we don't see as much these days, kind of like or at least you don't see them getting like wide release like this. But it's like, I don't know, it hit me very strong. I think it's a really incredible movie, and like also not perfect, but another thing that Anne and I both happened to both of us, which I was like, thank God it's not just me, but literally the entire first week after I watched it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, I just, every single hour on the hour would be like, oh, just still thinking about it, I saw the TV glow. Like, it's absolutely haunted me. So I'd strongly recommend it, but it is like, it's a little intense. And I don't know that it would necessarily hit that way for everyone, but for me personally, as like a person who like also was really obsessed with TV as a kid and like definitely have like a lot of things in common with Owen, it definitely was like, whoo, baby, that's a lot.
Ah.
Ah.
I have a couple questions that won't be revealing. Of
yeah, please.
But, so the director's last feature was kind of considered a horror.
Yes.
This one falling back, would be more of a...
Definitely. It's like, it's not a traditional... Both We're All Going to the World's Fair and I Saw the TV Glow are both like not traditional horrors in the sense that like there's not really jump scares. It's just like everything's kind of eerie and uncanny and like unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
And the themes that they're working with are pretty scary and weird. And like there's definitely some scenes that are like frightening in the sense that like it put my hairs on end, but not in the sense of like ghosts and ghouls,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like an existential horror in this way that I think is really interesting. But, like, I wouldn't go into it being like, this is so scary,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but it's still falling in that category.
Definitely, yeah.
And then, you know, you're saying how it really hit home because you're a kid who grew up, like, watching a lot of TV. Do you feel like it would have the same effect on people who didn't grow up watching as much TV?
I think it would. I mean, I think it's really speaking mostly to, like, loneliness and, like, gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, feeling... like time slip,
yeah.
You know? And I think all of those things are part of the human condition. Like, no matter how you relate to each of them individually, it was one of those things where like, I left it being like, was this movie made for me specifically? But then I talked to other people who felt the exact same way.
Yeah.
So it's like, I do think it has universal appeal in that way because like loneliness is like a true human experience.
Totally.
That we all have.
Totally.
I don't know.
I can see it speaking to some people even more specifically, like if you have a complex relationship with
mm-hmm.
your gender identity, if you did grow up in the 90s.
Totally.
If you did grow up watching a lot of TV.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
From what you're saying, I can imagine it can hit hard and hit home for a lot of people, but specifically to some people.
Absolutely. Like, hits a little harder. Yeah.
Yeah,
the only other thing I want to tell you about it is because I Googled it afterward and was like, what? There's three cameos in it that I think are really incredible. And I'm just going to tell you, oh my God, can you imagine? There's like a couple more, but like the ones that I was like, oh baby. Pete and also Pete from the TV show Pete and Pete are both in it, yes. which is incredible. Yes. Just as like a quick flash and then they're gone. And then also Fred Durst is in. I saw the TV club. I almost didn't want to tell you because it's so exciting to see his name come up in the credits because I didn't recognize him. But I just feel like it's important for me to disclose this information to you. I don't know, man.
Looking kind of handsome and also like doing cool stuff.
You know? Fred, it's time for the Fred Durstessance. It's happening all around.
Like, the Renaissance. Now we're getting the
Durstessance. It's time. It's truly time.
But like, Brenna Fraser, like, deserved it more.
Yeah, so true. But anyway, that's I Saw the TV Glow. It's, here we are at 7:59. We made it.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm really excited to go see it. I know.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear what you have to think about it, just because I've had enough time that I'm now ready to hear other people's opinions. Yeah. It took me a little while to be, like, comfortable enough talking about it at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm like, I want to know. Yeah. Now I'm ready. I'm ready to hear.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys soon. We'll be here next Tuesday.
Sure will.
Good night.
Bye.